mentioned in our introduction, our series of sermons we're beginning this week is entitled Life's Most Important Questions. What I've done is I've gone through all of Scripture and I looked at all the questions that we find in the Old and New Testaments. And I had quite a list. It went on for pages and pages. But as I looked through there, I culled out what I think are 14 of the most important questions that we find in God's words. And I think these are the 14 most important questions that we face in this life. And today, we're looking at one of those. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 10 through 13. And I want to read that word to you. And this is what God's word says. And when you tell this people all these words, they will say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? What is our iniquity? What is the sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, declares the Lord, and have gone after other gods, and have served and worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, because you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, every one of you follows his stubborn evil will, refusing to listen to me. And therefore, I will hurl you out of this land into a land that neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods day and night, for I will show you no favor. This question, why has the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us, is a question that many in our nation are asking right now. It's a question that perhaps you have been asking. You know, I found several places where variations on this question are found. Sometimes the people of Israel themselves are asking this question. Sometimes we see in the prophets that we're told that the other nations will look at Israel and they'll ask that same question. Why has God done this to those whom he calls his people? Now, I think this is a question that's pertinent for us. And I'm not suggesting that the United States of America is the equivalent of Old Testament Israel. We're not a theocracy. We aren't in a covenantal relationship with God as Israel of the Old Testament was. We live under the new covenant, not the old covenant. But I'm going to show you today that God holds nations accountable, that God judges nations, and that God, just as he did in the Old Testament, is calling all nations to repent. And so this question is one we need to be asking today, because I know America needs to repent. For as I said, God holds every nation accountable. You know, this is not hard to understand. We would have very little debate over whether the fact God holds individuals accountable for their actions. I think most people would agree that God is going to judge every individual. But nations are made up of individuals. And God holds us collectively responsible for the sins of our nations, because our individual sins contribute to our corporate sin. You know, we see that God holds all peoples, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well, accountable from Romans chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, where Paul is talking about the problem of sin in chapters 1, 2, and 3, and he's setting things up in his letter to the Romans to show that all people need Christ to be their Savior. And he makes this point, beginning at verse 14 of chapter 2. And when the Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law unto themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their heart, while their conscience also bears witness. And their conflicting thoughts, they accuse and excuse them on the day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice several things here. This is a passage speaking about not Jews, but Gentiles. And it's saying that Gentiles have the law of God written on their heart. They know what's right and wrong. Every person has the knowledge within their hearts of what God requires of them. Now, in chapter 1, we do know that people suppress that knowledge. And people are suppressing the knowledge of right and wrong all the time. We see people claiming that what God has declared is wrong is right. And so we know that sin has affected us so much that our thoughts are muddled. But at the heart of all things, we all know what is right and wrong. And all of us, according to this passage, are going to be judged someday by Jesus Christ. That police officer and his colleagues who watched on idly as George Floyd was brutally murdered, those people knew that they were doing wrong. There is no excuse for their behavior. They know in their heart of hearts that they did wrong. The people who have looted and vandalized our cities, they know that they are wrong. Regardless of the excuse they're making, they know that they are wrong. Every attempt to deny this truth is brought down by the fact that we know in our hearts that we're guilty before God and men. You know, as a nation, the United States of America, as a nation, we have many social problems, many systemic problems, and we're seeing the ugly reality of that right now. But until we go deeper, until we understand that we as a nation have a sin problem, that we're in rebellion against God, there will be no healing in our land. There will be no going forward. This is particularly important, I think, to remember in this election year. Because what we're going to see in the next several months, in fact, we're already seeing it, aren't we? That both sides are blaming the other. And both sides are making the claim that they are going to be the one who is going to right the wrongs. They're going to make everything better. We see this every election cycle, and every time we learn, we see that these are just empty promises. It hasn't been fixed in the past, and it will not be fixed in the future by politics. The real problem is not a social problem. The real problem isn't a political problem. The real problem isn't a systemic problem. The real problem is a spiritual problem, is a sin problem. And until we recognize this, nothing will improve. In fact, it will only get worse. Because we as God, as people, will be under God's wrath and judgment. And that brings me to the second point of my message, that God judges every nation for their sin. There's many examples in the Old Testament of God judging not only Israel, but the pagan nations for their sins. But I want to highlight just one of these Old Testament examples for you, because I'm going to be talking about these people. I'm going to talk about this nation as I go into the third point of my message. And the nation I'm referring to is the Assyrian nation, the Assyrian Empire. And its capital was the city of Nineveh. And at the beginning of the book of Jonah, we read these words. Arise, God says to Jonah, and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Nineveh was a pagan city. It was not an Israelite city. It was a city that was not in covenant with God. But this city was noticed by God. This city was the object of God's attention. God paid attention to what was going on in this city. And God saw their sin. And God was going to judge their sin. But as we continue to read the book of Jonah, we also discover that not only God was angry at their sin, but he was compassionate for the people of Nineveh. You see, the book of Jonah is a book about not only that God's going to threaten judgment upon Nineveh, but that God wanted to warn Nineveh. He actually called Jonah to warn them and preach against them so that they would repent. But of course, as we all know this story of Jonah, Jonah did not share the same concern and love for the people of Nineveh as God did. And God rebukes Jonah. And the very last verse of the book of Jonah has one of those questions. It's not one of the ones I'm going to look at, but it is an important question. And it ends this way. God says to Jonah, "Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" You see, God sees the nations of the world. God sees our nation. God sees the sin of our nation, and he's brokenhearted. God sees the sin of our nation, and he's angry. God sees the people of our nation, and he has compassion on us, just as he had upon the people of Nineveh. And therefore, God calls every nation, including the United States, God called every nation to repentance and faith. Again and again in the Old Testament, going back to the nation of Israel, we see that God calls them to repentance. Under the New Covenant, we find a great shift, because here in the New Covenant, the same concern that God had for Israel, Paul says he has now for all the nations of this world. When Paul was preaching to the intellectuals of Athens, he says unto them, "The time of ignorance that God has now overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he's fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And this he has given assurance to all that he has raised by raising him from the dead." Notice that in this passage I just read, that Paul speaks of both God's mercy and his judgment. He says God's holding all peoples now accountable. I've already made that point. He's going to judge all nations. I've made that point. But it also speaks that God has mercy and compassion upon all nations. The judgments that the nations face right now are oftentimes used for mercy. There's a great judgment coming. The full measure of God's wrath has not been revealed. There is going to be a great day of judgment that Jesus Christ is going to judge every nation. But even now, the nations face God's judgment. And this judgment, according to Scripture, is being used in the same way it was used in Israel in the Old Covenant, to call nations to think about what is going on, to be circumspect, to ask the question we're looking at today, why has God brought this evil upon us? In hopes that we would repent and turn away from our wicked ways and turn to God. At the end of the series, when we come to the month of September, the 14th message in my series, we're going to be looking at a passage in 2 Peter. Now, but I want to just read one verse from that passage today. And it's found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And God says this, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see, the question that week is, are we asking, where is this coming? Why has he been so slow in his promise? Well, the answer that Peter gives, and we'll be looking at that in September, is that God's slow Because he wants to give people time to repent. You know, the Ninevites repented. In chapter 3 of Jonah, verse 10, we read that God saw all that the Ninevites had done, that they had humbled themselves, they had put on sackcloth and laid down in the dust, and he turned to them in compassion. When they turned from their evil way, it says that God relented from the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. This is a powerful, powerful passage. Because in the context of nations, Assyrians were amongst the worst. Our sins are very serious in the United States, but to be quite honest, they compare very, very favorably to the sins of Assyria. Assyria was a much more sinful nation. And yet God was able to forgive the Assyrians of their sins. How much more is God able to forgive us of our sins as a nation? One night in a dream, God came to Solomon. And in that dream, God said unto him, "When I shut up the heavens when there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or to send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." That was, of course, a promise given to the old covenant people of Israel. But I'm going to suggest that's a promise that is given to us as God's people under the new covenant as well. We're God's people. And if we will hear that advice, if we will repent, if we will begin repentance here now, God will hear and he will heal our land. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, that the time of judgment begins with the household of God. He goes on to say that if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now hear what Peter is saying. Judgment begins with the household of God. God sees the sin of America, and there's judgment that's come upon our land, and it has begun with us. It has begun with us. And if repentance is going to come to our land, my friends, it also has to begin with us. Too long, the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States has participated in the sins of our society. Too long, we've made excuses like our neighbors have made excuses for their sin. Too long, we've placed our faith in politics rather than Christ. Today, that needs to stop. Today, repentance needs to begin right here in your heart. If you're listening in your home, it needs to begin in your home. If you're hearing this message at our drive-in service, it needs to begin here right now. Today, we need to believe these words that God gave to Solomon so many years ago. That if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let us bow our heads now and repent before God. Let us pray. O Lord God, in the quietness of this moment, hear the prayers of repentance of your people. Forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of being like the world rather than like Christ. Forgive us for leaning upon the wisdom of man rather than your wisdom given to us in your word. Forgive us for making excuses for our participation in the wicked acts that go all around us. And making excuses for the wicked acts of our society. Oh Lord, it has to end. The time of judgment has come. the full measure of your wrath is coming upon this world very, very quickly. And unless we too repent, as Jesus says, we too will perish. And so hear our prayers. May a change sweep upon our land. And may it begin with a household of God. Hear our prayers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I want to thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning. We just continue to encourage you to share these messages on Facebook. I invite your friends and neighbors to listen. Again, encourage you to come to our drive-in services. This is a very difficult time, but it's a time God has given to us to ask very important questions and to find the answers in His Word. Goodbye. Okay. Just be a square, huh? Is it now a square? Was it not a square? Okay, it has to be a square. Okay. Oh, well. Well, thanks, Beth. All right, that's 25 minutes. That's good. Cleaning the garage, huh?
Yeah.
That's always a fun job.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming, Beth. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for texting
me. I just need enough to keep my throat. Yeah.
Turn the air conditioner off.